Today on Real Radio.
They can say something, but they've not been changed. It's different for the Christian. We've been bound to Christ by the Holy Spirit's power. He's changed us. And listen, what we're called to do is speak the truth in love. But people don't want to hear the truth, and they don't recognize love when they see it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from the last two paragraphs of chapter 10. Here's where Paul writes about authority and boasting. But of course, these are to be approached within the context of the fact that there are true teachers and false teachers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called More Than What Meets the Eye.
Can you write that down? More Than What Meets the Eye. And if you want to put a subtitle in your notes or off to the margins of your Bibles, More Than What Meets the Eye is actually your life. Your life. Remember, here in 2 Corinthians, the whole theme of the book, as is our banner, is a letter of encouragement. And believe it or not, as Paul speaks to us in this portion of Scripture, he's speaking encouragement. And I want you to be thinking today, because he's going to be talking to us, and we need to keep a mindset of remembering and knowing that as he was speaking to the Christians in Corinth, Greece, he was trying to get them to see the truth. And the truth was this, that to their lives and to their existence as Christians, there was more to them than what meets the eye. And that's true for you today as well, for you and I both. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Follow along with me. I want you to stay focused on this. It's a big chunk of scripture, but very vital words. I'll point them out as we read. He says, "Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, that is owned by Jesus, that he belongs to Jesus, let him again consider this in himself." In other words, you better think again and think good. That just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Because remember, Paul's ministry was being attacked. So he defends the ministry. Verse 8, "For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification, that is building up others, and not for your destruction, that is damnation or perpetual ruin, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to testify or terrify, excuse me, you by letters. For this or his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this." Listen to this. "What we are in word by letters, if you think my writing these epistles is powerful, when we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we are present." In other words, they're going to see the same thing. Verse 12, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere influence our exposure, which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Verse 14, "For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ." That's why Paul lived and even went to Greece in the first place. "Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere." Verse 16, "To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishments." Verse 17 and 18, "But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Again, the title is, regarding us, that to us as believers, there's more than what meets the eye. Now, let me tell you why that this is the title. Because Paul was countering, remember, as we've gone through this book, Paul was countering the attack of those who were trying to undermine the ministry of the apostle of grace, the apostle of the gospel of Christ, and the legalists, those who were saying, yeah, you got to be born again, but you got to keep the law, that's how you're saved, would come in behind Paul's ministry and try to undermine the preaching of the gospel. See, the preaching of the gospel is that you are to turn from your sins to Christ, put your trust in him, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. By the way, let me say this quickly before another earthquake hits. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You can't get to heaven by your own works. You can't earn your way into heaven. So the next time, or even before that, maybe now today, before the earth moves under your feet, you need to make sure that you're trusting Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation, that he died for your sins. God loves you, and so the fact of his revelation of love is found in Jesus Christ, who died in your place on the cross. God had to die, because he's perfect, to eliminate your sins, because no man could. Jesus took your punishment at the cross. He went to the grave to break it and shatter it so that the grave couldn't hold you down in the day that you die if you trust Christ. And he did it, he does it, and he's faithful to complete that work he has started in your life. Now let the earthquake come. You trust him. And so as this attack of his ministry was coming, Paul makes it very clear. Here's the deal. Real true Christians follow the real true gospel. And that gospel truth is us leaning upon Christ. That power that's in the preaching of the cross, Jesus' gospel given to us, is the power that sets men free. Not the law. The law cannot set you free. The law screams at us regarding the holiness of God. And that is all important because, church, mark this down. Verses 7 through 11, this is what it means. More than what meets the eye is this, that you and I are no longer bound to this world. Thank God. The world is shaking. Politics is caving in. Anarchy is rising. Economies are imploding. Wars and rumors of wars are increasing. Civil unrest is starting to sweep the world. It is absolutely crazy. Persecution's rising throughout the world. Listen, the awesome thing is you and I are no longer, as Christians, bound to this world. The Bible says this world is perishing and everything that's in it. And the Christian, though we are not morbid, that when things happen, we do not glory in the devastation, but listen, we're also not shaken by it. We know that God keeps his promises. We know from the Bible that rough times will come. The great news is we're not bound to this world. How so? Number one in verse 7, the fact is we're bound to Jesus Christ now. We're bound to Jesus. It's amazing. Listen, the Bible tells us that you and I are living right here, right now. That's obvious. But the Bible also says in real time, church, that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. The Bible says in real time that you and I are presently seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Isn't that a weird thing? Think about the bizarre, holy contradiction of the Christian life. You and I are living here and now, but our eyes are to be fixed on heaven because that's where our true citizenship is at, and that there's not only a seat reserved for you in heaven, according to God, because you and I are bound to Christ, that we are already there in the sense. That's why the Bible says we're going home. Paul called it that there's a day coming when he would die that he would weigh anchor. Now, I don't know about you. Now, I've not been on a cruise. Have you been on a cruise? I guess, you know, everybody I've talked to, they said cruises are awesome. Okay, great. I'll take the word for it. Okay, so they're awesome. Let me guess something. Having not been on one, I'm going to guess. You got to get rid of the anchor before you can go on the cruise. I'm sure no ship pulls away from L.A. Harbor with the anchors dragging on the seabed. You pull those babies up and you put the throttle forward, I guess, right? And away you go to paradise. Listen, the Bible says that for the Christian, when your day comes, we will weigh anchor. The Greek word means when we die, the body dies, but we, the spirit, the real us, weighs anchor, and guess where we go? Maui. No, we go to paradise. We go to paradise. We go to the presence of God, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Why is that true? Because we're bound to Christ. He says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? Look at that in verse 7. Don't do that. Don't judge people or things according to what your eyes perceive. For if anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, remember the Judaizers, the legalists were saying, we belong to Jesus, not Paul. Well, Paul counters and says, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Paul was being very nice here. He could have said, those boneheads are a bunch of losers peddling false doctrine and let them be swept up in the flames of hell. He could have said it and be justified in saying it, but he didn't say it. He said, if they think they're Christians, trying to believe in God and present their works to God as merits of entering heaven, rather than works being presented because Jesus did save us, well, then consider this. If they can say such things, Paul says, so can I. Now, church, I want you to stop right here for a second. I want you to think this through, because I want today to be super encouraging. Because Paul's really bearing his heart, but the outcome is that the listeners in Corinth would be encouraged. Number one, this is awesome, because as Christians, you ought to know beyond any shadow of a doubt. You may doubt about a lot of other things, but a Christian should never doubt their safety with Christ, their relationship to Jesus. Now, I'm going to be very gentle, as Paul would be gentle. If you doubt your salvation today, and you love God, and you know the Word of God, and you doubt your salvation because you think God would not accept you because of your horrific sins of life, listen, I understand, we all understand where you're at, if that's you. But what you need to do right now is enter into the true light of God's Word, and take that doubt, and now, like we learned last week, capture that thought and throw it away from you, because it is it's a wrong thought. Though you feel that way, the feeling is not the reality of your relationship with Jesus. Do you understand that? You may feel that somebody doesn't love you, and the reality may be that they absolutely love you, but your feelings are robbing you. Do you understand that? We are often victims of our feeling. Number one amazing argument: if you're doubting because you see your sinfulness, think again. That's called a broken or contrite spirit, and you are actually nearer to God than you can ever imagine. It's not what you think. Now, there are those who doubt the salvation of God because, listen, they've never seen the power of God at work in their lives. They don't believe in the promises of God, and they don't have assurance of salvation, and that is for good reason. They probably don't have salvation. And the Spirit of God is yet speaking to you about making sure that you establish your faith upon truth and not upon some bizarre spiritual upbringing that you may have been exposed to. And then there are those who, frankly, they just don't care. And the Bible says that they are lost. But this is an amazing thing. He says, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? Well, the answer is absolutely yes. I'll admit that for you. We all do that. We do look at things on the outward appearance. Did you get up this morning? What did you do when you got up this morning? Did you look in the mirror eventually? I mean, I say eventually because it takes me a while to get to the mirror. I got to have coffee before I can get to the mirror. I'm afraid to think what I might see before coffee. But at some point in time, you put clothes on your body, you put makeup on, or you shaved, or whatever it is, you know, whatever you did, and you made yourself, we would say, presentable, right? Why? Because, let's face it, appearance matters to us. But there's a fine line between presenting yourself respectably in your culture versus going overboard, okay? And the Bible tells us that we are prone to make our thinking, and then ultimately our conclusions based upon the appearance of things. And church, that is a dangerous thing. Remember, you are bound in Jesus Christ. That's your first place of identity that you must hang on to. Listen, no matter what kind of a past you've had, no matter what's ever been done to you, no matter what's going on in your life today, no matter what you might think, the moment a person comes to Christ, and we'll get into this more as we go through the study today, God changes things. I thank God that my God never changes, but he who never changes exercises the power to change me. And I love it. Change me, Lord. Oh, change me. And we come surrendering to his awesome power. But the truth of the matter is, in the Greek-Roman world, appearances was everything. You think it's tough now? Back then, it was just as bad or worse. Appearance. Listen to this. In the Greek-Roman culture held as it did physical beauty at its most highest form and look for any leader. The physical appearance sent a message, and that message was he or she is to us the gift of God. That's what the Caesars were considered. Did you know that? The gift among Romans of the gods. And so we've come actually in our modern age to the same, God's gift to man. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, who do you think you are? God's gift to man. Where did that come from? It came from the Greeks. It came from the Roman world. The Caesars were to be the God's gift to humanity. And listen, they could not have a Caesar or a God that was some sort of a misfit or outcast. Are you with me, everybody? You say, that's so mean. Oh, you know what? We live in such a hypocritical culture. Makes me sick. Everybody talks about acceptance and tolerance and don't bully anybody and don't do this and you can't say this because you got to say it this way and then the other thing. And right, don't they all say that? Isn't that big? Oh, you can't say that. You got to say it this way. All of this stuff, and by the way, the people who make this PC shout the most are those who live about 35 miles from here, right, up in the Hollywood area, in LA area, and yet they themselves, do they practice it? Do you ever see people caught on tape? These actors who are these big proponents of this stuff, do you see what happens when they're at the bars or the pubs in LA or at the discos or at the beach or whatever? And what do? They're caught on film cussing and racial slurs and ethnic slurs and this and that, and they're the prophets of tolerance. Have you noticed that? It's amazing. Why? Absolute sense of hypocrisy. Why? Because, listen, they can say something, but they've not been changed. It's different for the Christian. We've been bound to Christ by the Holy Spirit's power. He's changed us. And listen, what we're called to do is speak the truth in love. But people don't want to hear the truth, and they don't recognize love when they see it. It's a very, very bizarre time in which we live. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So do we judge things according to appearance? Well, yes, but we need to stop that. And Christians should be, I think, leading the way in that. Faith, listen, for those of you who are skeptics this morning, listen to this. Faith is not what you think. And all around you today, including myself, are people of faith. When I say faith, I mean in the context of trusting Christ. And here's the deal. Faith is not for the weak or the faint of heart. Everybody exercises faith, even the unbeliever. We've talked about this before. What I'm saying is this. With your eyes, think for a moment. With your eyes, you can see certain things. And I forgot my science days. It's been many years since I worked in a lab. Somewhere from like 600 dBs wavelength on the spectrum, on the light spectrum, I'm guessing, somewhere like 600 to about 7-something, the human eye can see things in that spectrum, wavelength spectrum. There's infrared, there's gamma rays, there's x-rays, there's all kinds of different wavelengths, but we, our human eyes, see certain spectrum of revealed light. Do you understand that? Listen, there's all kinds of light. Did you know in the midst of us there's dark light? Dark light. Yeah, it just means this. It's outside the frequency of visibility that your eyes can see. This is a scientific fact. Listen, in fact, during the course of a 24-hour day, you can only see real well about maybe, it depends on the time of the year, but about maybe 8 to 12, oh no, not even that, 6 to 9 hours a day, maybe 6 to 9 hours a day, it depends on the time of the year, really well. Why? Because the rest of that 24-hour day is in darkness. You can't see so well, but your cat can see fine. So can the owl. Are you with me? Why? Because they were engineered to grasp a different wavelength of light. Are you with me now? Watch this. It's a scientific fact. Nobody would debunk that because we know it's true. And God says, well, guess what? There are eyes that I give to people who can see wavelengths beyond those physical parameters. And to see those things outside those parameters, it takes an eye of faith. Not an eye of silliness. These people who talk about Christians have just blind faith. I'm highly offended at that. First of all, it's absolutely ignorant on your part to say such things because people exercise faith every day again, right? I'm going to be getting on an airplane here real quick, real soon, and people are going to strap themselves to a gigantic piece of metal, and it's going to be thrown down the runway, and hopefully at about 180 miles an hour, it's going to take off. If not, I'm going to wind up in Marina Del Rey. Right? You're going to get your car today, and you're going to drive away by faith. You're going to put the key in the car and turn it by faith. You hope it starts. So much so do you practice that form of vision that you won't even think about it, right? You'll just do it. And that's exactly what God says, that the just shall live by faith. It means that we as Christians, we're not freaks, we're not weirdos. We can see wavelength of revelation that is beyond what is physical in this world. It's not a blind leap of faith. We can just see better than the non-believer. When the non-believer says, if I see, I'll believe. You got it all wrong, buddy. If you believe, then you'll see. The fact is that there's more to us than what meets the eye. Christian, by God's incredible power, you're pretty amazing. Not you because of you. Oh, thank you, Pastor. No, not you. You're amazing because of what God has done in your life. Looking at you, some of us, tall, short, thin, wide, male, female, whatever. You know what? The amazing focal point for us is Christ in you and I, which is the hope of glory. Don't judge each other on the outward appearance, the status in life, education, wealth, whatever it might be. No. Paul says don't do that. The second thing we see is that we are bound to Christ's service. I love this. You guys, I feel like a broken record. You're gonna say, yep, you sure do. But I have got to beg with you. Listen, there's no, you remember a moment ago I just said that we need volunteers to help make stuff for VBS. What did I say a moment ago? What does VBS need? They need over 400 craftsmen, seamstresses, volunteers to make it happen. Guess what? If you can fit that bill, if you can meet that need and you don't, the need is still going to be met. Did you know that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called More Than What Meets the Eye. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, specifically verses 7 through 18. More Than What Meets the Eye is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up a mini-series by Pastor Jack taken from this part of Paul's letter called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. And we're still offering it on DVD because, quite frankly, we got a whole lot of response on it from Real Radio listeners. It's a four-disc set that goes by that same name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our offer? Here it is. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it to you. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and ask for it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be easily found anytime at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.